Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today for our show is Julie Bango. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Father.
Let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day and for your countless blessings, those that we recognize and those that perhaps we won't recognize. Keep us always attentive to your work in our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Julie, it's a great joy to have you here. We've known each other for quite a while, since I was a young seminarian.
Yes, those are wonderful times.
Down in German Village, at St. Mary's back in the day. And as we begin this conversation, I always like to hear someone's story of maybe how they encountered Christ or converted, their conversion story maybe, or how they started to take the faith seriously. And, I've heard your story at least little bits here and there in the course of the years, but maybe you could share it with us.
Yes. I was born into a family with a Protestant mother and a Catholic father, but neither of them practiced their faith. So I did not have much interaction with the church other than two times I can remember as a small child. Once taking my grandmother to Mass and once attending Mass with my grandmother. And I would have been under 8 years old at that time. Other than that, I had godparents I never met. I had a family that, I wasn't catechized. So when I was in upper elementary school, I started attending Protestant church with a neighbor. I think a lot of kids do that, and that was enjoyable. But once I started investigating religion, I think in general, I felt something was missing in Protestantism. So when I was in high school, I had a strong desire to consider the Catholic faith. And I was very fortunate that my father and mother were very positive about that. And so I set up private instruction with Monsignor George Mason at St. Ladislaus Church. And every Saturday, my dad religiously took me to those classes. And by the end of my time with Father Mason, I decided to join the church, as did my younger sister. And, I feel very blessed by God. I feel like He really wanted me. He loved me. And He gave me those desires to seek the truth. Along with that did come the devil, as he does, right?
Yeah.
So we were rehearsing for First Communion and Confirmation the night before we were to be brought into the church with Monsignor Mason, and one of the things we had to do was partake in a Eucharist, a practice. So Father gave me the Eucharist, and I had this overwhelming emotional response to it, where, I was just thinking, oh my gosh, this is the Lord. At the same time, He's saying, no, of course this isn't a consecrated host. This is just bread.
Yeah.
But, tomorrow you'll receive a consecrated host. So I went home that night as a young person thinking, well, gosh, was any of this real? And isn't that how the devil works? I'm on the very tip of beginning the most beautiful journey in my life, and a little bit of doubt is put in the back of my mind. What I did not have the maybe maturity to do was to talk to Father about that. I prayed about it, and I just pushed it away. And so I began a Catholic life. My mother ended up converting. My dad came back to the church. It was an absolutely wonderful time for our family. It was a beautiful parish with a big S saint priest to head it. So we were very fortunate. And then at the end of high school, I considered a religious vocation. And it was something I thought about, but I was very wary to say anything about it. And I was praying about it. And so finally, I said something to my mom and begged her, please don't say anything to anyone. And of course, she called Father, you know, right away, as a good mother would, right? And so that, I spoke with him and we talked about it, and we had a good relationship with the Salesian Order, who did a lot on the south side with the poorer parishes, and I still have Salesians I'm in contact with, really solid men, solid priests. And it was decided that I would go on a retreat with which are now the Salesian Sisters.
Yeah.
At that time, they were Daughters of Mary Help of Christians. So I did that, and again, little did I know, but this group that I went with, I think were a bunch of delinquent young women from Boston, so they hooked me up with this group. So after this long bus drive and listening to a lot of kids who were not like me and were not crazy about going to this camp, we arrive, and it's, you know, it was like, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful environment, and there's the sound of the sisters singing, and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then again, the devil, you know, always has to get in there to do something. So I think the first thing that happened was I was paired up with a wonderful religious sister, and we were talking, and, you know, she said, well, what would you like to do? And I said, oh, I really want to be a social studies teacher. This is my dream. And she explained to me that, well, they didn't need social studies teachers, but they needed science teachers, and I should consider that. And I think, being very immature, that kind of came up against my selfishness of what I had planned for my life. So that was a little chink in my armor. And then as we continued to walk, there was this religious sister tending a garden, and you could see that she had a deformed hand. And my guide said to me, you know, their sister so-and-so, she was our science teacher. She had a terrible accident with a mangle. And, you know, I don't know if you know what that is. It's an old-fashioned iron. It was a machine, and it was round. You iron sheets with it. But anyway, it would be a terrible accident. And she said, well, you know, the students, it was hard for the students to see her hand, so now she tends the garden. So again, being young and selfish, I could not get past that. And those are things now that I would see very differently, but as a 17-year-old, you know, I had doubts. So I prayed throughout this time with the sisters. I could see they were filled with love. I could see they were doing God's work, but, you know, there were just little nitpicky things like that all through this retreat that nagged at me. And I said, Lord, just give me a sign. Help me to know your will. And this culminating activity was a May crowning. And the young woman that crowned Our Lady was smoking the whole time, cursing the whole time, had tried to run away. And obviously, you know, she's probably the grandmother of 10 now, or a religious sister, or God's ways are not our ways. So I did not know why God chose this young woman, but he had a reason for it.
Yeah.
But I left totally confused, totally like, I don't understand. So that was immaturity on my part. I have no idea if I was called to the religious life. I pray to God and ask you to pray for me that maybe I'll find out one day in heaven. So then I continued. I went to college. I moved away. And like so many people of my generation, really out of neglect on my part, I left the faith. So I lived my life, had a career, got married a nice agnostic boy, and I never disliked my faith, and I lost my faith. I don't know how to explain it other than I never would have thought I would get married in a Catholic church, because I left my faith, and I knew that that was not okay to do, or I never would have gone to communion had I visited a church, say, for a wedding or a funeral, mm-hmm. because I knew I should not do that. But I lost my faith. I just did not have it. So anyway, 1996, I had dated this guy a long time. We get married. We buy a house in German Village. We get back from our honeymoon. The first week home from the honeymoon, I'm walking by St. Mary's Church in German Village, and there's a little sign up, and it says, lapsed Catholic, interested in the faith, we are starting a group called Remembering Church. And who knows why I saw it, and who knows why I responded to it, but I did. And so I went to these classes, and just again, just like I was as a youngster, to investigate. And I think I knew something was missing. And that's an amazing thing. I was happy. I had a great career. Just purchased a house. Just got married. So my life was, I think, in secular terms, very complete. But obviously God loves me. He wanted me. And something, you know, piqued my interest.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Julie. We've hit the 11-minute mark. You know, it was beautiful. We're going to continue this in the next part of our conversations, but you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today has been Julie Bango. We're going to continue the story of Julie's conversion, so just tune in next time. But let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, enlighten us to your ways and call us ever closer to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.